So we're diving into the fascinating world of mitochondria, the microscopic powerhouses fueling our brains. I've always been struck by how such tiny structures can have such an enormous impact on everything from our daily thoughts to, well, our very survival.
It really is remarkable. I mean, I'm fascinated by the connection between these cellular components and complex processes like cognition and how their dysfunction can contribute to devastating diseases. It's a field ripe with potential for breakthroughs.
Absolutely, and that's precisely what we're exploring today. The big question is, how do these tiny energy factories shape our brain's capabilities and what happens when they falter?
Right. So starting with the basics, how exactly do mitochondria support brain function? We know the brain is an energy hog, right?
Yeah, a real guzzler. It uses a disproportionate amount of the body's energy. Mitochondria generate that energy, primarily in the form of ATP, through cellular respiration.
And that ATP powers the intricate electrical and chemical signaling that allows neurons to communicate?
Exactly. Everything from maintaining resting potential to firing action potentials, transporting molecules along axons, and even...
Mm-hmm. And even synthesizing neurotransmitters, right? It's like a complex, interconnected power grid within each cell.
Precisely. Now let's talk about cognitive performance. How does mitochondrial function, or dysfunction, influence our ability to think, learn, and remember?
Well, studies show a strong correlation. Efficient mitochondrial function, meaning high ATP production and efficient waste removal, is essential for optimal cognitive function. Think of it like this. A well-oiled machine runs smoothly, right?
I see. Interesting. So a brain with healthy mitochondria is like a finely tuned engine firing on all cylinders.
Got it.
Yeah. And conversely, when mitochondria are damaged or dysfunctional, ATP production can falter, leading to, well, a range of cognitive issues.
From brain fog and difficulty concentrating to more serious impairments in memory and learning, right?
Exactly. And this brings us to perhaps the most concerning aspect of mitochondrial dysfunction. It's linked to neurodegenerative diseases.
Right. Diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and ALS. What's the connection there?
Well, neurons are particularly vulnerable to mitochondrial dysfunction because of their high energy demands and complex structures.
So when mitochondria in neurons start to fail, it can trigger a cascade of events leading to?
Leading to neuronal damage, cell death, and ultimately the characteristic symptoms of these diseases. Oxidative stress, for instance, plays a huge role. Mitochondria, while producing energy, also generate reactive oxygen species, or ROS, as a byproduct.
And if these ROS aren't effectively neutralized by the cell's antioxidant defenses, they can damage, well, everything, right? DNA, proteins, lipids, the whole shebang.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a cellular resting process. This damage can further impair mitochondrial function, creating a vicious cycle of decline. And the brain, with its high oxygen consumption, is particularly susceptible.
It's a sobering thought, but understanding these mechanisms is crucial for developing effective therapies. So where does the research stand now? What are some of the promising avenues for treating mitochondrial dysfunction in the brain?
Well, there are several exciting approaches being explored. Some researchers are focusing on boosting the cell's natural antioxidant defenses, while others are looking at ways to improve mitochondrial function directly, perhaps through targeted drug delivery or even
mitochondrial transplantation. Right? It's a radical idea, but it's showing some promise in preclinical studies.
It is. And then there's gene therapy. Correcting faulty mitochondrial genes could potentially prevent or even reverse the damage. It's a complex challenge, but the potential payoff is enormous. We're really just scratching the surface of understanding the intricate relationship between mitochondria and brain health. But with continued research, the future holds tremendous hope for preventing and treating these debilitating diseases.
So picking up on that fascinating discussion about gene therapy for mitochondrial dysfunction, I'm curious, what are the biggest hurdles researchers face in this area?
Well, one of the major challenges is actually getting the therapeutic genes into the mitochondria. They have that double membrane, remember? It's a tough nut to crack.
Right, like a fortress. So how do they overcome that?
Researchers are developing specialized delivery systems like viral vectors or nanoparticles designed to penetrate those membranes and deliver the genetic payload precisely where it's needed. It's tricky business, though. There's also the issue of off-target effects. You don't want those genes ending up in the wrong place.
Oh, definitely not. What about the complexity of the mitochondrial genome itself? Does that pose a problem?
Absolutely. Mitochondrial DNA is, well, it's unique. It has its own set of repair mechanisms or lack thereof, which makes it more susceptible to mutations. And understanding how these mutations contribute to disease is still a work in progress. It's like trying to solve a puzzle with missing pieces.
I see. So it's not just about delivering the right genes, but also ensuring they function correctly within this distinct mitochondrial environment?
Precisely. And then there's the sheer diversity of mitochondrial diseases. Each one presents its own set of genetic defects and clinical manifestations, making it difficult to develop a one-size-fits-all approach to gene therapy. It's a highly personalized field, and that adds another layer of complexity to the research.
That makes sense. It sounds like a real uphill battle. But given the devastating nature of these diseases, the potential rewards are, well, they're enormous, right?
They are. Think about the impact on patients and families. The possibility of not just treating symptoms, but actually addressing the root cause of these diseases, it's a game changer.
It is. It's about restoring hope where there often isn't any. So despite the challenges, the research continues?
Oh, yeah, full steam ahead. Scientists are exploring various gene editing techniques like CRISPR to correct faulty mitochondrial genes. And there's also a lot of work being done on developing mitochondrial replacement therapies. It's a rapidly evolving field, and I'm cautiously optimistic about the future. We're learning more every day.
So we left off talking about gene therapy and the hurdles researchers face. It's such a complicated area, but crucial for tackling these devastating diseases. One thing that struck me was the sheer complexity of the mitochondrial genome itself.
Yeah, it's a unique beast. So different from nuclear DNA. It has its own quirky repair mechanisms, or should I say, lack of efficient repair mechanisms, which makes it incredibly vulnerable to mutations. And figuring out how those mutations translate into actual disease, it's like piecing together a jigsaw puzzle in the dark, you know?
Oh, I can imagine. It's not just about delivering the right genes then, but ensuring they actually work within this completely different environment.
Exactly. And each mitochondrial disease has its own unique genetic fingerprint, so a one-size-fits-all approach just isn't feasible. It's a highly personalized field, which makes research even more
Challenging?
challenging is an understatement. It's like climbing Mount Everest in flip-flops, but the potential rewards are just too significant to ignore.
I agree. Speaking of other approaches, we touched on mitochondrial transplantation earlier. What exactly does that involve?
Well, it's a pretty radical concept. Essentially, it involves transplanting healthy mitochondria into cells with dysfunctional ones. It's showing some real promise in preclinical studies, surprisingly.
That's incredible. How do they even do that? Isolate the mitochondria and inject them directly?
Yeah, pretty much. It's still in its early stages, but researchers are developing various delivery systems to get those healthy mitochondria where they need to go. There are challenges, of course. Immune rejection is a big one, and ensuring the transplanted mitochondria actually integrate and function correctly, that's another hurdle. But imagine the possibilities. Actually replacing the damaged powerhouses with functioning ones?
It's mind-boggling, almost science fiction. But if it works, it could revolutionize treatment for so many diseases. So what's the current focus of research in this area?
Well, a lot of it revolves around refining the delivery methods, making them more efficient and targeted. And then there's the issue of scaling up production. How do you generate enough healthy mitochondria for therapeutic use? These are big questions, but researchers are making progress. There's a lot of excitement in the field, a real sense of being on the cusp of something big.
So, reflecting on this deep dive into mitochondria and the brain, it's clear these tiny powerhouses are anything but insignificant, right?
Yeah, absolutely crucial. I mean, their role in everything from basic brain function to complex cognitive processes and neurodegenerative diseases. It's mind-blowing.
It is. One thing that really struck me was the discussion about mitochondrial transplantation. It sounds like science fiction, but the potential,
That is enormous. Imagine actually replacing damaged mitochondria with healthy ones. It could revolutionize treatment for so many debilitating diseases.
It could, though of course there are significant hurdles to overcome. Immune rejection, efficient delivery, scaling up production.
Right. It's a steep climb, but the research is moving forward and there's a real sense of optimism in the field.
Yeah. What about gene therapy? Targeting the root cause of mitochondrial dysfunction, faulty genes, seems like a promising avenue, but...
But it's incredibly complex. Getting those therapeutic genes into the mitochondria, ensuring they function correctly in that unique environment, dealing with the diversity of mitochondrial diseases. Mm-hmm. Each one is like a separate puzzle.
I see. So a highly personalized approach is necessary?
Absolutely. And even then, the mitochondrial genome itself is... Well, it's a bit of a wild card. More susceptible to mutations, less efficient repair mechanisms. It's like trying to fix a watch with faulty gears and no instruction manual.
A good analogy. So, despite the complexity, the research continues on both fronts, transplantation and gene therapy?
Oh, definitely. Full steam ahead. And not just those approaches. Researchers are also exploring ways to boost the cell's natural antioxidant defenses to protect mitochondria from damage in the first place.
Right. And then there's the connection between mitochondrial dysfunction and pity. Well, practically every neurodegenerative disease out there, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, the list goes on.
It's a sobering thought, but understanding these mechanisms is the key to developing effective treatments. And we're learning more every day. It's a fascinating and crucial area of research.
It is. It gives me hope for the future, despite the challenges. Well, this has been an incredibly insightful conversation. Thank you for sharing your expertise.
My pleasure. It's always exciting to talk about this groundbreaking research, and thank you for having me. Until next time.